Oh, you the voice?
Nah, not me.
So if you're not the voice, who is?
The people, man. The people's the voice.
So what does that make you?
That makes me the middleman. I'm the middleman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and today I am joined by my good friend, Dylan Mercado. Bro, welcome. Welcome to the Middleman Podcast, man.
Appreciate you having me, bro.
This is, alumni here since 2016. We graduated together, and dude, it's great to run into people, you know, from the past, and it's just great to see you. You know, you've always been a really genuine dude, and I'm excited to essentially catch up.
Hell yeah, definitely.
In this conversation, man, catch up because a lot has happened since high school, and you know, we're grown now, man. We're grown now.
Yeah. Honestly, bro, I appreciate you having me on the show, man. Like I said, like, I feel like I've been watching you for a while and just seeing you actually, like, in person when we saw the restaurant, I was just like, this got to be fate, man. Like, I really want to express, like, how happy I am for you doing this. I respect it. It's just great to see you actually pursuing something like this. It's awesome. And you've definitely got that personality for it. So I love what you're doing, man.
I appreciate it, man. It was real genuine. And it is fun hearing it from peers, because you knew me. I've talked to multiple people. Like, sometimes we're labeled as who we were in high school.
Exactly.
Sometimes we're labeled as who we were in high school. And that's not the case, you know, anymore. We're definitely growing up. We're all doing our different things. I'm doing this, you know, so here we are. Dylan, pleasure having you here, man. And, you and I were just talking off the camera. And, I thought we met in the eighth grade. But you corrected me. We met in the seventh grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro. That was so I was coming from Philly at the time. I was moving around a lot, switching schools. And to be honest with you, I didn't even expect to be like at West for a long period of time. And so to me, it was like, I'm not even worried about like making friends there or anything. And I just remember going into lunch. And I picked that like stereotypical, like, new dude, I'm gonna sit alone. You know what I'm saying? but you, Mario, I'm pretty sure it was Mark Smith. You're like, come over here. And then since then, like, you know, we've all been cool. Obviously, we started playing football in high school. And honestly, bro, like I said, man, ever since I met you, bro, you've been like the most genuine person I have. Like, you were never involved with any type of drama, always had a good outlook on everything. And so, like I said, man, like when I met you again, essentially met you again, I was just like, this is dope, man. I missed you, bro.
I miss you too, man. It was, you referred to, shout out to Mark and Mario, the boys. I still for communicate real with them. They're OGs. They're the day ones. We're like the three amigos, bro. I remember that. Good days. So thanks for refreshing my memory. And something that keeps refreshing my memory, you mentioned we played football together, right? Yep. There's this like horrific photo on Facebook that constantly
like, I know what you're talking about.
It constantly reoccurs every year, never fails. What is it, 9 years now?
I think it's 9 years. I'm pretty sure it's 9 years, yeah.
Bro, it's like, maybe we'll overlay it for you guys. It's young bull Kev, young bull Dylan, and young bull Chris Woods, Mr. Woods. And shout out to you, Mr. Woods.
Facts.
I know he was excited to have, like, I talked to him constantly as well. And I was like, yeah, bro, I'm, you know, getting Dylan to come on the pod. He's like, no shit, Dylan, man. He's like, so I know he'll definitely be tuning in and checking this one out, man.
For sure.
So, yeah, that photo is, it's horrific, but our relationship goes all the way back till then. In high school, we had a good time. But then after high school, you know, friends drift, things happen, life happen, and life definitely did happen. For you.
Oh, life happened like a motherfucker for me. That's for sure. So basically about a month and exactly 1 week after we graduated, let's just start with the fact that the beginning of our senior year, I got diagnosed with a kidney disease. And that was only found because I had a surgery to correct my nose from, I think, something that happened in football.
How interesting. Wait, nose and kidney. Okay.
Yeah. So like I had a surgery on my nose and they found that my blood pressure was high. So they're like, you need to get a kidney biopsy. And I was like, all right. So went, got a kidney biopsy. And that's when they told me I have some like very rare disease. It's called FSGS. If I were to tell you what it actually means, it's like focal segmental glomerular something. I don't know what doctors are using crazy terms for, but that's where we at. And it was only like stage like 2 at the time. So it wasn't that serious. And then the doctor that tried to treated it with prednisone, which was the only option at the time. So went through high school. I was partying, drinking a lot. Probably wasn't the best option for someone with a kidney disease. And a month and 1 week after we graduated, I had a seizure. What I woke up with was what I thought a headache. And while I was in the car with my friend, I just started getting really dizzy. Whole world just started spinning. And he pulled over. And then I just went into having a seizure as I was opening the door to get out of the car. And so I just blacked out. Ironically enough, man, a paramedic happened to be passing by.
Wow.
Like literally on the side of the road. Not even on duty. Just a paramedic just happened to stop. Like when I think about what are the odds of like even you, like when you see someone on the side of the road, is your first thought like stop?
No, it isn't.
Exactly. In today's world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's like you don't think about that. And for someone to actually stop, I don't know if I was in the view of the eye because I was behind the car, but for someone to stop there and keep me actually breathing until I was able to get medevaced, an ambulance came, picked me up, took me to some place where a medevac came, picked me up, took me to a hospital. And in that time, they had a spinal tap me. They weren't sure if I was even alive at the time.
My goodness.
Then I got to the hospital and I was in a coma for a few days because they had no idea what caused it. Nobody really, you know, thought it was the kidney thing. They thought it was neurological, but I was passing all neurological tests and all the scans. So finally, when I woke up, like I said, I was in my friend's car. And so I thought when I woke up, we were in a car accident. And I remember that morning, my friend was drinking a beer. It was just like one beer. It was like early in the morning. And I literally, this is how you know like a mother's love is like real. Like you're not trying to mess with your mom, right? My first thought was like, I had a tube down my throat.
Right? Okay, yeah.
So I couldn't talk. But my first thought was like, hey, get me pen and paper. That was my first hand signal to tell my mom I wasn't drinking and driving. And my mom looked at me like, I know that, you idiot. But yeah, man, so I woke up and I had tubes everywhere, man. Like I said, one down my throat. I had one in my chest. I had one, I had like four in my arm. I had one in places you don't want to have tubes.
Damn.
For the men out there, you know what I'm saying? It's not fun. But yeah, dude, it felt like it had been like 3 hours since I blacked out. And it was like 3 or 4 days.
Because you were in a coma, you said.
Yeah. And that's probably the most like surreal thing I've ever experienced in my life was just the fact that time had literally passed me that fast. It's something even to this day, like I know of it. I've known it for 7 years now. Like it happened 7 years ago. But I still cannot grasp the fact that 4 days of my life are just completely like not there. You know what I mean? And as tragic as all that was, because like the year before, like I was an athlete, I was playing football.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play basketball on a team, but I played basketball after school every day. I used to skate, you know, I was doing a lot. And in like a blink of an eye, all that was over. So for me, man, like that was the beginning of what a lot of people assume is a tragedy. But ironically, I think that kind of saved my life because from that moment, it completely flipped my perspective of life and like how I live it today.
Let's take a step back real quick. So, you know, you had that seizure on the side of the road and then you woke up in the hospital. Okay. Those 4 days are, mm-hmm. are completely gone.
Yep.
Don't remember a single thing. You know, like, can I ask when you woke up, I know your first initial thought was to get the pen and paper, but did you like you ever, when people wake up from a dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could you recall anything from, I guess you could say the other side in a sense?
So all I remember was in that exact moment, it took me days later to remember like the spinning of everything.
Yeah.
I just remember being in a car and I woke up in a hospital. The one surreal thing of that unconscious state that I don't even really talk about to people is just this overwhelming sense of comfort, which I believe was like I was dying. And so like in that moment, I became less afraid of death because like I said, this didn't occur to me till days after I found out like all the things like my kidney failed and all that. It was days later when I finally recognized like something happened in those 4 days, whether it was the initial moment and like my body was drifting away.
Yeah.
I felt something that isn't even, to put it in perspective, I wasn't conscious.
You can't even explain it.
Yeah, dude, you really can't. Like, it was just absolute, I guess to put it in perspective, is like nothingness. Like, you weren't worried about anything. Bills, I didn't know my name. It was just, like, a state of, like, nothing. And I don't know what that is to this day, but all I know is it was comfortable.
You know, it's kind of interesting you say that. And, you know, some people may look at that as being eerie, you know, when you hear that being described. Mm-hmm. There's this one page I follow on Instagram called At The Beep, yeah. You know, At The Beep. And it's just like, it's B-roll with people leaving messages after the beep. And yeah. Someone described coming back from the other side. Yeah. And they were like, I don't know how to feel because I kind of felt comfortable yeah. on the other side type mm-hmm. shit. And, you know, it's like, I'm okay. I'm happy to be here. But it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
It doesn't make sense. So
it don't, man.
The seizure was caused because of your kidneys? Is this
yeah,
what?
So what, after, you know, all this, like, calmed down, I woke up and, like, my family's there and everything. They told me basically that my kidneys had failed probably, like, months before. And they told me that there was no reason months that before. I should be alive.
What?
My blood was so toxic that, like, at any point, it should have killed me. So I was going months, and I remember it very clearly. Like, I don't know if you remember senior year. I doubt it, because I mean, I was healthy. I was, like, 170 pounds, like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And, like, the last 2 months of high school, my face swelled up. My body swelled up. I started feeling, like, aches in my joints and everything. Come to find out, that was just fluid. It was stuck in my body. Like, my kidney wasn't filtering anything anymore. So, you know, like, your kidney's main function is to filter out toxins.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was still urinating, but, like, none of the toxins were leaving my blood. And it was just building up over a period of months. And so, I guess, you know, when I had that seizure, my brain was just finally, like, this isn't, you know, it's like if your car requires, you know, premium gas. Mm-hmm. And you out here putting, like, kerosene in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to work. So,
great analogy.
Yeah. And so, you know, my brain finally just tapped out. And, you know, all that pretty much now history. And like I said, I spent 6 years and 2 months and 10 days on dialysis. So I had tubes in my chest for a year. And then I switched it to doing training and doing dialysis at home. Which was like an over the night painful. Thing, which, you know, really screwed my life up from a perspective of being able to, like, travel. Because every night I would have to go home and do 11 hours of treatment. And so the options for me to actually, like, explore the world the way I wanted to were not an option until I got a kidney transplant.
Well, and that's the thing, you definitely do love to explore the world. I just want to go back to where we were. Prior to taking a step back, you know, you mentioned that whole experience changed your outlook on life, okay. You know, coming out of that. And even still, when you woke up after those 4 days, you know, you may have changed your perspective on life, but you still weren't out of the dirt, like, by any means. You were mm-hmm. still in the dark for, you just said, 6 years.
Exactly. Yeah, dude, it was that 6 years, like, I don't think anybody really can, like, there's no way for me to explain that. Like, dialysis keeps you alive. I think it does like 3% of what a kidney would actually do. Mm-hmm. So I was there, but in no way was I myself anymore. I didn't have the energy. Like, over time, I was just deteriorating, and even, like, my muscle mass and everything. So, like, I'm currently trying to build it all back, but it was just deteriorating physically, mentally. And then you get the obvious, like, yeah, I was depressed. Mm-hmm. And so I was angry. And it was like that for, like, the first, like, few years as I watched it happen. And I don't know. Then, like, something just kind of, like, changed. Like I said, that perspective of my life kind of changed. At first, I was angry. I was young, man. I was 19.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? But then.
Felt like you were robbed.
Yeah. Right? That's exactly how I felt, man. Like, I knew I had so much going for me. I was actually about to move to Florida at the end of the summer. And that never got to happen. And then, like, basically I couldn't get a job. I couldn't go to school because I had to spend 10 hours a day on treatment. And then in between that, I felt like crap. So I basically felt like crap for those first 2 years. And then instantly the switch flipped to when I realized that, like, holy crap, like, I could be dead right now. You know what I mean? Like, what I'm in sucks. But at the same time, there are people that got it way worse than me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so at that point, I was just finally like, let me embrace whatever time I got left. And that's when like the idea of death to me became completely irrelevant. And like, I really appreciated time. Like everyone says, like, you never get your time back. You know what I mean? But I don't think anyone actually understands what that means. Like in every single moment, like we might stress about work. We might stress about bills. When you actually are at that point where you realize like one day you're going to die and literally nothing that you've ever done will ever matter in any sense, you don't care. You just care about in the moment, making the best, because you can only appreciate in the moment. So I don't care about the future. I don't care about my past. I'm only in the present moment every single day.
That's good for you, man. That's really good for you, because I struggle to do that. I've talked about that, you know, a few times. I'm good at living in the moment, but no, I'm not good at living in the moment. Excuse me. I'm not good at living in the moment, man. I'm always thinking about the future. Not so much the past, because the past is the past. I'm always like, you know, we're not going to be able to recreate this conversation, how it is happening right now, stuff like that, you know? So yeah, getting that time and realizing the switch, you know, to be able to just be alive and be lucky. Although your life definitely took a turn for the worse, bro, you know, like, so now you needed a new kidney, you know, you need a new kidney. You're doing dialysis. I worked with someone who did dialysis, and he was an older gentleman. He was maybe like 46, 50. Mm-hmm. But I could see how drained he was after the fact. And he really wasn't too fond of eating after treatment. It doesn't sound fun.
That one part you just said, like not fond of eating. When I tell you, like I lost 60 pounds in the first year. I went from being like 175. I think I topped out before I realized the swelling of retaining fluid. I was like 175. I went down to 115.
Damn.
And when I say like the struggle for me to even like push the boundary of 120 was insane. It causes something similar to something called parsomnia, which is like your sense of smell kind of like reverses. So everything, we have a natural instinct of smell, like for things that are edible and things that are not, which is the reason why most of us, not all, I ain't gonna say all, but no, not to drink bleach, okay? Or eat Tide Pods. But
yeah,
like,
the freaking Tide Pods.
But like we have a natural instinct to, you know, what we can eat and what we can't eat. For me, it switched, and like the smell of beef or the smell of chicken cooking made me absolutely like nauseous. Like I couldn't eat. So like I would eventually, they had to put me on these like nutrition shakes because I wouldn't eat. And it would just give me the nutrients I need. But I wasn't gaining weight. It was just to keep me stable, really.
It's like you lost your appetite.
Yeah, completely. I had no appetite. And I'd say, like, after the kidney transplant, that's the biggest difference I noticed right away was, dude, I could eat anything now.
Good.
Like I think, like, I'll eat, like, a whole meal. And I'll be like, yo, tasty cakes sound pretty damn good right now. So that was a huge switch up for me. And like, I've since then like started gaining weight. It's been about a year actually. I think what's today, the 11th? In 10 days will be my 1 year anniversary of the kidney transplant.
Congrats.
Which we could get into in a little bit. But since then, like the first 6 months, it was 8 months, I couldn't work out. So I'd like, you know, obviously my entire body was cutting. But like being able to eat again, that's a whole thing people don't even take into perspective, is like, what you do when you eat, like the sensation it brings to your body, the flavor, all that, like that is literally part of the human experience. Like,
yes,
you know what I mean? Like, and it does sound stupid. It's like, oh, we just eat, we eat to eat. But like, when you actually realize like you don't like the taste or the smell of food, and then you switch up to liking it, I was just like, damn, bro. Like literally every single small thing in your life that you do is huge, and we don't even recognize it.
No, I it's funny that you mentioned, yeah, food is definitely an essential part of human nature. When I experienced COVID, I make the joke, it's a shitty joke, but I'm a 3-time COVID veteran.
I only got one on my belt.
3 times. So I lost my taste buds the first go around. And lost my smell, lost everything. Bro, I was eating soup or just eating whatever, right? And I'm like, I don't even know the fuck I'm eating here, bro. I was just like so miserable. Because I can't taste it, I can't smell it. I'm like, yeah, man, this shit is yummy. I put like some hot sauce on like some things that just don't even make sense. To be like, yo, let's see if you can like shock your body,
just to get that kick.
Yeah, let's see if you can shock your body into like survivor mode. And it just wouldn't work, bro. My body would sweat.
Yeah,
it'd be like, yo, this shit's hot. But it really? Wouldn't. Yeah, But it,
dude, I would have thought that was more of like a, like because you recognize the actual like heat of it, not just like a body reaction to it. That's
no, my just, like, I mean, the food was still hot. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The food was so hot, I just couldn't taste it. I couldn't smell it.
That's so depressing.
It was bullshit.
Like, because like so I just didn't like the taste of certain things. Like I only thing I ate on dialysis was bacon, egg, and cheese every freaking day.
Ain't nothing like a bacon, egg, and cheese,
bro.
Put a hash brown on it.
I never did that.
Yo,
I'm sure it slaps because I ate hash browns on the side. Yeah.
Put it on top. Yo, if you don't know, put the hash brown on top. And by the way, you know, subscribe, like the video. You know what we're doing here. We're just dropping dimes of knowledge. So back to the bacon, eggs, and cheese.
Yeah, dude, that was the go-to. And it's weird because since it's transplant now, I switched to sausage, egg, and cheese. And I don't know what that's about. I'm actually pretty unhappy about that. Even though sausage, egg, and like cheese, it slaps.
I feel like it's a more bang for your buck.
Technically, yeah. Like you mean the sausage, egg, and cheese?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it is. Because like you get like technically more food.
Yeah.
But like something about the crispness of that bacon mixed with everything else is just like, damn, son, like this is right.
That's funny, man. So bacon, egg, and cheese was your go-to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
That's going to be like a significant staple in your life. You know, just be like, yo, remember that time? It just consistent.
I've probably tried every single breakfast place in the Poconos because of that. Because of that 6-year tenure of dialysis. I was just like, yo, I need to eat a bacon, egg, and cheese from every place so I know where to go every day.
You need to find the best one. Where is it?
They ain't even open anymore. Ironically, bro, like I swear to you, this isn't some bullshit, but like right down the street from where we went to high school.
It's that fucking gas station with Robin. Yep.
Robin, bro. Where'd you go? Robin. Shut that shit down, man. And bro, I'm telling you, like this is where my thoughts on wisdom, okay, come. Like she was old, so like.
She was wonderful.
She knew how to whip it up. You know what I'm saying? Like. But nobody else on the mountain could ever do that. And I was blessed to live near that.
Fresh every morning. Hell yeah. I used to get the stroke. The stroke was my shit.
Yeah.
If you know, it's a pretty hearty sandwich. I think it was bacon, sausage, egg, cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think the heart attack, you just added onions to it. That was the difference. The stroke and a heart attack. So
see, again, like I was at a point where I couldn't really eat that shit. That shit's still not even safe for someone who has an appetite, but
it really isn't. That's why they call it the stroke, man. That's why they call it the stroke. All right. So, you know, things are starting to change a little bit. So 6 years trying to find a kidney. Am I right when I say that?
Yep.
Okay. So who stepped up to the plate?
So this is pretty crazy. So I, initially, let me just backtrack to when I first got on the transplant list.
Okay.
That surgeon that I first got on a transplant list, and I don't think I'm literally allowed to talk about the hospitals, but like I was not allowed to receive from a living donor, meaning I was essentially waiting for someone to die that matched my blood type. That perspective was like, you know, I'm so like thrilled to like try to get a transplant, like I'm accepted on the list now, but like the idea of waiting for someone else to die so that I could actually have a chance at life was just weird to me. Especially like when you take into account that I'm 19 at the time. You know what I mean? Like I just technically in the eyes of the law became an adult. And you're telling me that I don't deserve to have someone like that loves me or something donate a kidney to me? And so I didn't know at the time that that was just that doctor's opinion. So I thought it was based on the disease I have, which is very, very rare. Like I said, it's like one in, I want to say it's like 6 people in like 7 million.
Wow.
I'll find the statistics at some point, but it's something close to that. It's absolutely freaking insane.
Have you been playing the lottery lately?
What's up?
Come on, bro.
I mean, between the paramedic being there when that happened and then that, yeah, bro. I mean, I really should. Thing is, I don't like losing money. I went to a casino one time for my boy's birthday, and I'm good with like actual tables, you know what I mean? Playing poker and everything.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like slot machines, bro, I took a $100 bill, I stuck it in a machine, and it was like 10 cents a hit. And I was like, all right, bet. So like I'm drunk. I'm fucking wasted.
Yeah.
And so like I just hit the button like 5 times. I came back with $4.67. I literally, bro, security had to walk me out because I was flipping out. And then my brother told me later about like, I don't know, like it's 10 cents per one of the little slot things. I don't know.
I
still don't understand slot machines, and I don't care to understand them. All casinos can literally suck my dick for that.
No.
So me playing the lottery, every time like I go to think about playing, actually, as a matter of fact, I've never played the lottery, but every time someone gets me a lottery ticket, I win.
You want to go?
Hold up! You got.
Let's
go.
Let's go buy a lottery. Post show, we gotta go and buy a lottery ticket. We gotta go buy a lottery ticket. We're gonna get rich here. Yeah, man. So you were saying that it was only that doctor's opinion. So the doctor's opinion was that it needed to be from a donor who had passed.
Yep. So
why?
Again, that just I guess his opinion on my disease is that it is a high risk of coming back.
Oh, okay.
So. You know, whatever. That's all. The weird thing about me, man, is I'm a very understanding person. I'm very logical. Everything I do is very logical. And that doesn't work out in my favor a lot of times with like personal, like relationships, friendships, because I separate emotion from everything. But in that sense, I was just like, you know, that's his opinion. Like he's a professional. Like, okay. But that human side of me was like, nah, bro, I want to live.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and obviously, from my mom's perspective, hearing that about her own son, she was not cool with that. So she was talking to my aunt one night. My aunt is a psychologist, and she knows the secretary, I believe it was, of the head of surgery for Temple University. And so they were talking, and then I guess my case was told to the head of surgery, and he was like, come over to here. We'll see what we can do. I got put on the list. And they're like, we can get you a kidney like within a year. And so whatever, I got accepted on the list, COVID. Nobody could go into hospitals to test for me. So that added another like 2 years. So it sucked, bro, because I had people that wanted to donate to me. But another factor was that a lot of my friends, for some reason, you have to be 21 to donate a kidney. So, like, you can go overseas, you know, you can fight wars, you can go smoke. Actually, you can't even smoke no more, can you?
No.
Damn, that's, okay, damn, this is backwards as hell in this country.
I mean, you can still go overseas and fight and...
Yeah. No, that part you can, absolutely. But, like, you can go overseas and fight, but you can't smoke a cigarette. You can't donate your kidney, you can't drink when you're 18. But, like, yeah, so, like, it turned into this thing where everyone that was a potential, you know, good fit for me, couldn't even do it until they were 21. And then, so as I'm waiting for that, I'll be honest, like I'm falling deeper and deeper into like this rabbit hole of like, bro, my life is kind of in a fucked position right now. So I did lose a lot of friends over that. Mostly on myself. I didn't reach out to people. But I feel like that was for the better. Like I needed to grow myself. Like I had to learn a lot of like self-love for myself.
Yeah, acceptance. A lot of acceptance, man, especially because your life was hanging there in the balance and you were so uncertain of what could happen. You know, like as you mentioned earlier, you never know, it could be gone just like that, you know. So
exactly. So I basically, that's exactly what I did, bro. Like, I developed this mindset of like, regardless of who's with me or not, like I know I got me. Like, I know who I am. I know what I stand for. And so years went by, and it came to the point where I had an ex of mine come back after years. And, like, the crap she did to me was grimy. But she came back and was like, I want to donate my kidney to you. And I was like, all right. So months go by. I take her down to Philly and do some testing. And it's like, I want to say it was like 8 or 9 months, this whole ordeal of trying to get, like, through the tests and all that. And then she flipped around and said, no, just disappeared on me. At that point, bro,
wild.
Wild is
wild.
Wild, right? So I basically...
Dust in the wind. That's so wild to me. How the fuck? Okay, I'm sorry.
Dude, Dylan. Nah, bro. Like, when I tell you, like, the details would be so much more severe, but I ain't going to get into
details. No, we don't need that. We get on off the camera. Why not?
But, like, yeah. But, like, it's just that right there, this is what I found interesting about myself. It was that right there that defeated me. It was like that. Now, it wasn't her. It had nothing to do with her. It had to do with the fact that, like, shit, I'm about to get out of this. And then it was just taken. You know what I mean? After 6 years. And so I remember this one time I told my friends, I'm like, yo, we'd always go kayaking down the Delaware River. And I doubt they know. If they watch this, they probably gonna be like, damn, bro, I didn't even know this. But I was like, yo, let's go kayaking. Because my plan from there was to just stop doing dialysis. Like, I was just straight up going to be like, I'm done. Like, it wasn't even like a sad thing. You know what I mean? Like, I was at the point where I was just like,
you were defeated.
It wasn't, I mean, I was defeated in a sense, but like, I was also like, I know who my friends are. You know what I mean? I love my family. Like, I've done a lot for my family and I'm just content. And so nothing else I was doing. Like, I had a good job and I was going out in nature. That's when I, you know, pretty much found my love for nature. And I was in the middle of this river, in the Delaware River, right in the middle of Delaware Water Gap. And I was just thinking, like, in a sense, I was like, I was sad. I was like, because my friends don't realize what I'm doing here. But like, I was genuinely okay with things ending like that. And then a few days later, my cousin was like, I matched September transplant. That shit was crazy, bro. That, like, I think it was, to me, it was like making peace with my life, how it went down, what I did wrong, what I've done right, how I've changed. And it was like a higher entity telling me, like, that's what you needed to learn. And then that gift came. That still to this day, bro, like, is the craziest. I'm about to tear up. See, I don't tear up.
It's okay.
I don't tear up. But
it's
like,
okay,
actually thinking about this and talking about it, it's like, it's deep, bro. Like, I I guess throughout my entire life, I was always like about me. You know what I mean? So to grow up the way that I did and then learn all these things at such a young age, it definitely changed my mentality a lot. And like, I'm much different now than I was. Like, obviously we're all different from high school, like you said. But even as the adult I was becoming, that's why I say I think this saved my life in a way. The person I was before, I was going out to parties, always getting into some crazy, crazy shit. And like, a lot of things I was doing were very bad. And I was drifting into this world. And when that happened, it put my life on pause, essentially. That's exactly what I define it as now. That whole 6 years was like my life on pause. And I think I needed that in order to set me straight. Because obviously, you know, like where we went to school and everything, like a lot of people don't turn out that great. You know what I'm saying? So I would have been in that situation had all this not happened to me. So it's like an oxymoron. Like, yeah, that screwed my life up in a way, but it screwed my life up physically. Mentally, that made me way stronger.
Physically as well. I mean, physically, yeah, it did like screw you over, but I understand what you're saying, man. And I like how you said it put you your life on a pause. But then it's like you had a whole different switch up. You had a change on life when the whole ordeal started, right? Mm-hmm. And now you're not even so. Yeah, that's great, man. Because I'm thinking about like I can understand the parties, the lifestyle of you know, 18, 19 year old. I was doing it too, you know, fucking drinking. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Sveka anymore. That was the drink of choice when I was back young, you know. But some people were hitting it harder than others, you know, and. I don't know, maybe it's fair to say that you were possibly hitting it harder than some other people were. Mm-hmm. And if you would have continued down that, it's like your body told you, yo, I need you to stop, mm-hmm. essentially. And it really pulled the e-brake. It stopped. It definitely stopped. You stopped hard. Yeah. You stopped hard. But it definitely worked out for the better in the long run because I know who you were, you know. I know that you were always like... You keep mentioning about yourself.
Yeah.
You weren't selfish. I wouldn't say you were selfish. You're always a genuine dude.
Yeah.
But I could see how in the past you may have been more aggressive towards a certain situation. And
I feel like we both know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But like, or what you're talking about. But that's what I mean is as I got older, that aggression became like primary. That's how I dealt with everything. And so... that's why I feel like that had to happen because this set like all that aggression aside. Like what more could piss you off than being robbed of your life? You know what I mean? And not just like robbed of your life, but like having to watch the robbery happen. And that's what it felt like because I watched all my friends, you know, start succeeding, getting houses and everything. And I'm stuck in this position where I can't do anything about it. And that's why nowadays, like a big focus of mine is just trying to like send that message to people that like, there's always someone that got it worse than you. Like you're in a position to change no matter what position you're in. I could have even done better with the situation I was in.
Okay.
So when I see people, like, it's very normal for people to stress about bills, about, you know, relationships, anything. But like, what you, as long as you got your health, like, you are good. You can get yourself out of any situation that you possibly find yourself in. And so I think, honestly, like, I feel like that's kind of what I'm meant to do, is just let people know, like, you got it within you. No matter what the hell you've been through, no matter what the hell you're in, like, you got this. You know what I mean?
And who better to tell it than you? I mean, you really went through such an ordeal. And it saddens me that it was like in a young portion of our lives, you know, where we were 19, you know, me, what was I doing? I was probably outside, you know, having fun, doing this, doing that.
Yeah.
Yet you're at a pause, you know, and it's fucking life goes on, man.
Yeah, dude. And that's what I found so interesting, is that, like, I'm not saying back then, like you said, like, I wasn't selfish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was very caring towards other people, but I always viewed myself like, it's just me. Like, I was kind of people, but it was just like, I got to do this all on my own. And I think that made me very, like, standoffish with a lot of, like, close friendships, relationships. So I basically just, through that whole period, realized, like, the whole meaning of life is friendships and relationships and enjoying the present moment, which is why anybody sees me on Instagram that knows me, I'm just in nature. I'm usually alone. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you and your beautiful dog.
Yep, my dog, my girl. Shout out to you, Mocha. I know you're probably at home waiting for me to feed you, but... But yeah.
Speaking about, like, friends and friendships and family, is there anyone who you, like, really stuck by your side throughout this whole ordeal that you would care to talk about?
So, I mean, it's very complicated, because I did feel, like, really alone, and I made myself alone in those situations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had people, there was a lot of people that were around me. When I woke up in the hospital, bro, I had, like, 20 people. Like, I'm talking friends, not even just the family. Like, I had, like, 20 people lined up waiting for me. I had so many people from, like, school and everything, like, texting me, calling me. And I wasn't responding to any of that. But, like, over those years, I take the original 20 people I remember standing there when I woke up, and, like, how many, like, fell off. And again, most of it really isn't their fault.
It's just life.
Yeah, it's life. Like, some of us just grow out of each other, you know what I mean? But part of it was me. Like, part of it was, like, I didn't have the energy to keep bonds together. But what I will say is, obviously, my family was by my side. I had a few friends that were always by my side. But regardless, I knew they saw what I was going through, but they couldn't imagine what I was going through. So as much as there was a bunch of people that were there for me, no doubt, but it didn't really make a difference to me, just because of the fact that, like, they can only see it.
Yeah, it was up to you also. It was just like,
yeah,
it's a whole bunch. So post-operation, talk to us about post-operation. What was that like, you know, getting your feet under you? You know, anything that, I don't know anything about getting a kidney, you know, operation. I don't know.
This was wild. So obviously I'm going up to testing, doing a bunch of blood work. They're taking like 38 tubes of blood. And it was wild, bro. I mean, like, I love like the idea of modern medicine, because like they'll take 38 tubes of blood and then they'll just be like, you want a graham cracker? Yeah, sure. Give me a graham cracker and some, you know, some Sprite. But when I went in to do the surgery, it felt surreal. Obviously, as great as the news is when you hear you're getting a transplant, it's a kidney transplant, bro. You don't know if you're waking up. You know what I mean? Of all the organs, I believe kidney transplants are the most common and easiest, I guess you could say. Least risky,
least complicated,
whatever. Yeah, whatever the terminology is there.
Because I could go in there and snip a kidney anytime.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But, you know, the night before we all had to stay, the transplant was in Philadelphia. So we had to stay at a hotel for like transplant patients and stuff. And, you know, my cousin's there, my family's there. And again, I was with my dog. Like, I requested that my dog was there. And so all my family's there talking, everyone's happy. But for them, it was all, oh, this is a great opportunity, he's going to get his life back. For me, it was like, I'm either getting my life back or it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember walking away. I'm like walking through the city with my dog. And as a matter of fact, if there's anyone to shout out, it's my dog. I swear on everything. That dog saved my life, bro. I'm sure a lot of owners say that, and like it sounds cliche, but like for real, I would not be here if it weren't for my dog. But I was just walking through the city with her, and we just sat down on the curb. I just sat there for like an hour, and I'm just looking at the city of Philly, and I'm just like, I've had so many situations in my life where I get this like crazy deep vibe. You know what I mean? And it feels like I'm in a movie. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, yo, this is literally about to be the biggest thing that happens right now. And so I kind of, at that same time as what I did in the Delaware Water Gap, like I made peace. You know what I mean? Like I fought this entire battle. I've gone as far as I can. Now it's in the hands of surgeons. So it was very eerie that night. But then we get into the hospital in the morning. They requested we be there at like 6 a.m. And so they had to take my cousin in first because kidney has to come out in order to be slipped into me. So
what?
Yeah, right? Yeah, pause actually. Hold up. But basically I'm sitting there in pre-op and I expect it to be hours, you know what I mean, before they actually see me. They have to prep me while they're doing her. And so like I'm sitting there and I'm just trying to keep calm. I figure I have hours, so I'm just kind of calm right now.
Yeah.
As the minutes start coming up, then I'm gonna start panicking. But I'm just chilling there on an iPad, bro. Like I'm I don't know, I was practicing my signature or some crap. So I basically have a bunch of like nurses and stuff coming. They're like, okay, yeah, we just gotta bring him in over here real quick. And I had no idea that this was going to be the moment. I thought they were bringing me back to do some tests real quick, like another scan. They bring me in this room, and it's definitely a surgical room. And they lay me on this table, and they're like, yeah, we're just going to get vitals. And I was like, okay. And they put a mask on my face, woke up with a kidney.
Wow.
Bro, it was wild, son. And I honestly didn't – I'm glad they did it that way.
Clever, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like – and I don't even know. Like, a lot of people might not know. Like, I'm deaf. Like, I'm hearing impaired. Maybe they did say something. But like maybe God blessed me with like not being able to hear, so I didn't hear that crap. Which is also why I'm wearing AirPods, if anybody wondering.
Yes,
so we can talk about this. Yes. These help me hear. But yeah, dude, like I went in there, I just passed out, and then I woke up and I had a kidney. And when you wake up, it's not like you're like, oh shit, I feel better. Like you just got sliced, son. You got sliced. And I was just like in and out of consciousness. I remember getting wheeled to the room, like the ICU. And they, like, I remember my mom being there. I remember my girlfriend being there, who wasn't my girlfriend at the time, but she's my girlfriend now.
Okay.
But I just remember like seeing them as I'm like in and out of consciousness. And then it felt like 2 minutes had gone by and I was waking up again. It was like 8 hours later. I woke up at like 4 a.m. alone. And I'm not even kidding, bro. My first thought was like, holy shit, I'm alive. Holy shit.
yeah.
Dude, it was victorious. Insane, bro. It was freaking insane. And like they had me pumped up on all types of pain medication. So I don't know if it was just the reality struck or it was just all the medicine, but like it didn't even feel real. Like I thought at first when I woke up, I was like, I'm dead. This is just like I'm just chilling here. What's going on? But like I really started feeling like, holy fuck, bro, this is crazy. And then like, you know, like 10 hours later, that's when I finally started getting clarity. And I was like, bro, this is it. I did that shit. It was wild, Kevin. There's no way to ever express the reality of like what I've been through. I just know that like what I'm supposed to do with it is help others. So that's really just like my main mission right now.
So how do you want to help others? But before we get into that, do you care to explain the ears
real quick? The AirPods?
Yeah. Why not?
So, all right. I feel like this is actually going back to high school. I had hearing issues. And at that time, it wasn't that bad. Like, I recognized it, but it wasn't that bad. But then after high school, it got a little worse. The left ear was always bad. I had an M80 go off when I was like 2 years old.
Damn.
My mom threw like crazy 4th of July parties. And like, I guess I was a little too close and it burst in my ear. But my right ear, AK-47, not going to talk about the details.
Wow.
But it blew my right ear out and I felt it. Like, I literally felt, I felt it. And like, as I pulled the trigger, like the third time, like I remember, like it was like, boom, boom, boom. And like, it just went out. My ear was ringing for like 3-4 weeks. And I was like, yeah, it's permanent damage. You know that seatbelt sound, like in a car when you don't wear a seatbelt? This is how, this is how I knew I was deaf. Like I remember getting in the car and I was driving. And then I looked down, I was like, oh shit, my seatbelt, no. And then I was like, why is my thing not working? And then I saw it like flashing and I was like, oh fuck. Like, so I basically, at that point, like not being able to hear still to this day is probably one of the hardest things in my life. Because that affects like day-to-day communication. Hearing aids in America, if nobody knows, take care of your ears because they're like at least $4,000.
Damn.
Yeah. And I don't think, I think there's maybe like a handful of insurances, like some like elite insurances that actually cover it, and they will only cover it once. So as soon as the battery dies, you on your own.
That's fugazi.
Yeah,
that's
fugazi. It's crazy.
It's money. It's a money industry.
Sorry. It is. It is. And it's like, because like, you know, if you got vision issues, whatever, you just get some glasses. Like, it's not as hard. Yeah, it's a little expensive. But like hearing aids, bro, nope. You deaf. Well, fuck you.
You're on your own. Better learn sign language.
So, So I work at Apple and I basically, you know all the accessibility features, like to help people and stuff. And I was like, yo, these have transparency mode for anybody that has AirPods. The pros, at least, they know, like, you can just pretty much let outside noise in, so it feels like you're not wearing anything. So what I was like, yo, there's got to be a way for me to boost that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like sound is just passing through. It's like something is recording sound on the outside and sending it through almost instantly.
Brilliant, bro. Good mind.
So I was just like, there's a way to boost this. And so, like, I'm diving through settings and stuff. And then I found a way, and it was like this custom, like, you can kind of, like, make it a little louder, a little lower. And then I was like, yo, if I were to download a file with, like, my hearing issue, like, specifically for each ear, I could adjust it, like, tune it. And so, what do you know? There's a hearing app, right? And it asks you to use, like, headphones and go in a quiet room and then, like, you know, tap it every time you hear something. And so, I did that, downloaded it. Boom. $249 get around of $4,000 hearing aids.
Wow. Yeah, so, that's brilliant. I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude. So, like, this, obviously, I'm going to get hearing aids because wearing these all day, not only just, like, looks stupid.
It hurts every now and then.
But it's uncomfortable. Yeah. It's uncomfortable as hell. And they're by no means, like, actual hearing aids. You know what I mean? Like, if we're walking down the street outside and wind blows, it just blows the mic out. And it's like, I can't hear crap. So, I take them out usually when I'm walking outside. But yeah, bro, like, you know, respect to Apple for that, because this, without this, I probably wouldn't work there. Not because I don't like it or anything, but I wouldn't have been able to even do the interview. Dude, like, it's that serious. So yeah, this was major improvement for me.
What a time to be alive.
Right?
So, yeah, man, sort of message, you know, post-operation, you know, you've definitely been indulging on nature, loving life, we see Mocha out there, you know, she's beautiful, beautiful chocolate.
Thank you, man.
So talk to me, man. What do you want to do post-operation?
A big focus of mine are two things. A, educating people on food, because I don't feel like food in this country, I feel like that's the disease that I have. They don't know much about it. They say it's genetic. They're not really sure. No one in my family ever had it. Not a single trace of it in my family on either side. So for me, I genuinely believe it was my diet, like growing up and then just all throughout like my life, really just eating crap, because I realized that once my kidneys failed and they went on like something called a renal diet for your kidneys, all the things that affect your kidneys wrong are all the things I was eating. So like I realized like, that's like the baseline of it, right? But then I started reading into like what's in our food. You know what I mean? And this isn't conspiracy stuff, because like a lot of this goes into conspiracy, but like you can literally type in some of the chemicals you find on the ingredients. Put it in Google, see what it's used for. And you're like, what? Like what? Like
isn't like, I'm getting a little off topic, but I think bat poop is in like fucking Doritos. Isn't that a thing?
What is it?
It's something with a bat is in Doritos. I might be completely wrong. I might have to fact check myself,
I don't doubt it. I do know that red dye 40, which a lot of people, I guess, are aware of. This isn't like a secret. You could look up red dye 40, and they specifically know that it's linked to causing cancer and all types of issues. And the FDA is like, yeah, well, companies just use it because they use it. Like, it's whatever. It's not a secret. Like, they literally just like, we cleared it. Yeah, but, you know, the manufacturers know it's dangerous, but, you know, it's cheaper in some way for them to use it. So, like, they just let it happen. And that's because we live in, you know, a capitalist country, and it's just all about profit, which is equally as great as it is detrimental. So,
I mean, aren't cigarettes FDA approved?
Are they?
I think so.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, like,
I'm not lying.
Dude, it's crazy because, like, you know, the tobacco is not bad. It's nicotine.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And the bleach on the paper of them. And I hate cigarettes. I've done a lot of crap in my life. Okay. Like, a lot. But I ain't never touched a cigarette. Not once. And that hasn't really spoke volumes in my life. But I've never touched a cigarette.
I'll be honest. I've touched one.
Yeah. You know, fucked up.
Drunk, right?
Yeah. I was out with the boys at Duncanic. You know, we were out there mudding Jeep and County. Yeah, we were out there mudding. And I was like, yo, bro, could I try that? And he said, sure, man. You ever have one? I said, nah. And I took two drags. That's it. Yeah. I didn't take a whole bogue. I took two drags, and I was like, no, I could see why people like it. That's what I said. I said, I could see why people could like it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not, but I could see.
See, like, when I was 14, 15, like, I was a dickhead. Like, yeah, I smoked, like, Black and Milds.
Yeah, me too.
To be cool.
Gosh.
Whatever. Yeah, like, whatever.
Wood tip jazz, please.
Yep.
Yeah, dude.
Seriously.
For real. Nah, I used to smoke. Actually, even, I think when I was like 12, but like, I quickly learned, like, yo, this is pretty stupid. And I'm glad I never like posted pictures on like Instagram of doing that crap, because like, I would actually fight myself in real life.
My mom would beat the shit out of me if I put that up. Seriously, she would really beat the hell out of me.
And that's why what I was saying before with the when I had a seizure, my first thought when I woke up from a freaking coma was, yo, my mom, I can't have her pissed at me. I had to make sure she knew that I wasn't drinking and driving. And that's the moment I learned, like, your mother's opinion on you and your fear for your mother beating your ass is, like, genuine. That shit runs deep through generations.
Forever. Mothers are, you know, mothers are mothers, bro. Shout out to the moms out there. Shout out to the moms. All right, hell, Dylan, yeah, definitely. Well, we're going to transition into tea time here in a few minutes. Yeah. But before we get off the air, I want to give the floor to you. If there's any final messages you want to leave for the people, mm-hmm. You know, this is your time. It's been a pleasure having you here. Really Absolutely. Catching up and hearing your story was fantastic. So
thank you, man. Yeah. First, I just want to say thank you again. But I guess for anybody out there, realistically, I'm kind of like starting to move more towards social media to try to help as many people as I can. A lot of like men's mental health, like, I know men don't talk about things. I would love to be like a place or at least a platform for men to come and actually talk about issues and like, let me help you. I've been through more than just the kidney disease I've been through. That is just like the main thing in my life. But big part is I just want to help people. So for that, you know, follow me on Instagram. And handles and stuff.
Yeah, the handle's going to be there. Just follow the man on Instagram. It's probably going to be like right here.
Yeah, yeah. See, I was thinking about doing a podcast, but obviously my mind ain't ready for this. He got it.
Amazing is like, I love fucking around with our editor, man. I want Zach to just be like, start just like putting like the middle man podcast, like one big word, just like the middle man podcast. You know, like, can you do that, bro? And then like, if you see me thinking, like if I'm sitting there thinking, could you put a bubble up or something, like a thinking bubble or some shit? I would like a little bit of that. I'm just fucking with you,
always
bro.
Gotta add a little spice to them.
Exactly.
But yeah, man, that's really all. If anybody ever needs help. Also, like hiking spots. Y'all need hiking spots. Hit me up.
He's your guy. Tapped into nature, man.
For sure.
Dylan, it's been a pleasure, man. I'm really happy you showed up. I'm really happy we made this happen. Just to like catch up. It's incredible to hear how far you've came. And I know you were always going through some shit, man. And, you know, maybe I didn't reach out as often as I should have. But, you know, the love and just friendship has always been genuine, as you stated in the conversation, bro. So, thank you all for watching. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez. We're going to transition over to tea time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. We will see you all next week. Peace.